Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, in order to properly understand and interpret sacred scripture, we always have to look at the context in which that specific piece of scripture is set in. A great example of that is the gospel for this weekend. In the gospel that we just heard, it is from Matthew at the very end of chapter 7. And what we're hearing is the very end or the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount actually begins in chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus walks up the mountain, sits down, and he gathers all of his apostles and disciples and followers around him. And then he begins his famous Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is essentially Jesus Christ laying out the platform for Christianity. The Sermon on the Mount essentially is the blueprint for the whole Christian life. Jesus is telling us what it is, how we are to understand it, and how we are to practice it, and why Christianity is so important in our relationship with God. Yet Jesus continues to teach that Sermon on the Mount through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and then 7. And it is in the gospel that we just heard in which Jesus is summing up or concluding that Sermon on the Mount. And so we are coming in at the very end of that teaching. Now that's frustrating. In some ways, it's similar to going to a movie theater and you see a movie, the last 5 or 10 minutes of the movie, and you say to yourself, well, who is that guy, and why is he dying, and why is that ship sinking? Well, you don't understand the whole story or the drama. Instead, what you have to do is see the entire movie from beginning to end. Then you're able to understand the story. Well, due to time constraints, I'm not going to explain to you the entire Sermon on the Mount and go back to chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. Yet, what I can say, in summary of it, is that the Sermon on the Mount essentially is Jesus' vision of Christianity. It is everything we need to know to be a good, faithful Christian, to be a good, authentic, and genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Now, interesting enough, the first reading is similar to the gospel. In the first reading that we hear from Deuteronomy, we are again entering in or coming in to the very end of Moses' teaching that he has with the Israelites. The setting is one in which Moses gathers all the Israelites on the banks of the Jordan River as they are about to cross the Jordan and enter into the Promised Land. Moses gathers them all for one final instruction. Essentially, Moses is going to impart his final words of wisdom upon the Israelites before they cross into the Promised Land and before Moses dies. And so Moses instructs them about the law and the covenants and the importance of being faithful to them. Now, it's interesting enough to note that the book Deuteronomy is derived from two Greek words, deuteros, which means second, and nomos, which means law. So essentially, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses now imparting the second law upon the Israelites. The first law is given to Moses and eventually to the Israelites in Exodus, in which Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, in addition to other laws that the Israelites need to practice in order to be faithful to Yahweh. And so Deuteronomy is basically the second law. It's a series of sermons given by Moses sermons on the law and the covenant as an essential part of God's salvific plan for Israel. Now, as I mentioned before, in the first reading, we again are coming in at the very end of Moses' instruction or his teaching with the Israelites. And since it is the conclusion of Moses' teaching, he's careful to use some very strong words to end his instruction. He says, "Take these words of mine into your heart and your soul. Bind them at your wrist as a sign, and let be a pendant on your forehead. Take these words of mine into your heart and into your soul." Now why? Why does Moses use such strong language here? It's because Moses wants to capture and hold the attention of the Israelites. One would say that what Moses is doing right now is laying down his own Sermon on the Mount. Just as Jesus laid down the platform or the blueprint for Christianity for his followers and his apostles, so now Moses is doing the same. He's laying down the blueprint or the platform, his vision of Judaism for the Israelites to follow. Better yet, it is in the law and the covenants in which the Israelites will derive their identity as God's holy and chosen people. Therefore, it is vital, imperative, for the Israelites to take Moses' teaching into their hearts and into their soul, into their very being, so that the law and covenants now become a part of who the Israelites are. And in doing so, they will always remain God's people. Interesting enough to note, Jesus uses that same strong or similar strong language as he concludes his teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them." Now remember, again, when Jesus says, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine," he's referring to his entire instruction of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, again, the Sermon of the Mount is Jesus' vision of Christianity. It's everything that we need to know to be a good and faithful Christian. "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a wise man." My friends, it is a basic biblical truth that a wise person is the person who follows the teachings of Christ and puts them into practice. Jesus continues, "Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock." Now, Jesus introduces this analogy of these two houses. One house is built upon rock, a firm foundation. The other house is built upon sand, which has a very weak foundation. The houses essentially symbolize our souls. Jesus is telling us that we must build a foundation for our soul, and that foundation must be built on firm ground. What materials should we use to construct this foundation? Well, the materials of the sacraments, a prayer life, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, a virtuous life, wisdom. All these materials will help us construct a very solid and firm foundation for our soul, our house, to rest upon. Why is this important? Well, Jesus tells us, "The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house." My friends, Jesus is telling us storms will enter into our life. From time to time, storms will blow in and blow out of our life. The symbol that Jesus is using of the storms are basically challenges, crises that we will encounter in our life. The storms will blow in and out of our life. We can count on it, unfortunately. Now, those storms can take the form of maybe poor health or an unexpected diagnosis. Maybe the storms that blow in and out of our life is an unexpected death of a loved one or family member. Maybe the storms that blow in and out of our life can be unemployment, depression, anxiety, Maybe the storms that blow in and out of our life can be strained relationships that we have with family members, friends, relatives, or neighbors. All these storms we encounter throughout our life. Now, no one is immune from these. We will all have them from time to time in our life. And as Jesus says, they will buffet our faith, our soul, even try to shake us to our very foundation. But what's important here is Jesus' message. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when these storms blow into our life. Why? Because if our soul is resting upon a solid foundation, a foundation that is built from a daily prayer life in which we pray every day and maybe several times a day, it's built upon an active sacramental life in which we attend Mass at least once a week, if not more frequently. It's built upon a virtuous life in which we are serving others in need in this world. My friends, all those things will help build a solid foundation for our house, our soul, to rest upon. And even though the storms may blow into our life, we can weather those storms because our house, our soul, is on a solid foundation. So that's the good news of the gospel. But just the opposite, unfortunately, can happen. And Jesus warns us of this when he says, "And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act upon them will be like a fool." Well, the opposite of a wise man or a wise person is a fool. A fool knows the teachings of Christ but does not put them into practice. It's interesting enough, Jesus continues. He says, "Will be like a fool who built his house on sand." Well, this person builds a very weak foundation. What are the materials that this person uses to build this weak foundation? Well, an absent prayer life, a lapse in the sacramental life, a life devoted, yes, to service, but not to Christ or to others, but to themselves and to their ego. What's the consequence? Well, Jesus tells us, "The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed." In the midst of our own personal strife and disappointment and frustration, we can easily blame God and turn away from Him if our foundation is weak. If our foundation is truly weak, our house will definitely collapse. And we will succumb to whatever trial we are enduring. Instead of reaching out for God, for help, for love, and for hope, the person with a weak foundation will turn into themselves. They will neglect God, even blame God for their tragedies or their personal crises, and then walk away from Him, and maybe forever. So what are we to do? Well, I think Jesus is telling us we all have to be wise people. We have to understand the teachings of Christ and then put them into practice. In doing so, then we have constructed a rock-solid foundation for our house, our soul, to rest upon. Yet it doesn't stop there. We can't settle for mediocrity in the spiritual life. Instead, what we have to do now is work on the house. Since the foundation is already laid and strong, now we turn to the house. And it is in the house that we have to perform routine maintenance. This maintenance of our house, our soul, is necessary because our house, our soul, must be as strong as the foundation that it rests upon. Everyone that owns a home knows this. Everyone that owns a home knows that they just can't buy a house and then just say, "Well, I got the house built, now I don't have to do anything anymore with it." No. Instead, from time to time, the house requires some work. And if it's not work on the roof, then it's work on the gutters. If it's not routine maintenance on the gutters, then maybe the doors. If not the doors, it's the windows. If not the windows, maybe it's the kitchen countertops. If it's not the kitchen countertops, maybe there's some room in the house that needs to be painted or wallpapered. And frankly, I'm not even going to begin to talk about the bathrooms. So we all know as homeowners that our houses require some routine maintenance that needs to be performed. Well, so too does our house, our soul. Our house, our soul must be as strong as the foundation it rests upon. And therefore, our house requires the daily maintenance of a prayer life, of receiving the sacraments, going to Mass at least once a week, if not more frequently, entering into the sacrament of confession on a regular basis. If need be, go and receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Also, grow in your wisdom and knowledge. Study Christian art, architecture, music, sacred scripture. Go and serve others in this world. These are all ways in which we are performing routine maintenance now on our house. So that, again, the house is as strong as the foundation that it rests upon. And my friends, when this happens, when we are performing that routine maintenance on our house, our soul, then we can weather any storm that comes our way. And that, my friends, is the great news of the gospel for us today. And may the peace, the joy, and the grace of God rest upon you always.